Welcome to Solo Cleaning School. Are you ready to reshape your mindset and grow your solo cleaning business? Step into today's class with your guide, Ken Carfagno, so you can win for your family.
Welcome to Solo Cleaning School. We'll get into this really cool story in just a minute, but let's start out with some funny papers. This funny papers story almost didn't make it to a podcast. I thought it was mildly humorous because it's recent and there is a factor of time that makes stories funnier. When it happens to you in the beginning, you're inconvenienced, slightly embarrassed, and don't think it's that funny. But a few years removed, it is pretty funny. Well, this story is very fresh. I wasn't going to share it on a podcast. I just happened to tell my wife the story and she started cracking up and I said, okay, fine, I will share it. So here it goes. I've shared on this podcast many times that I currently clean at a veterinary hospital. There was even a funny story I shared way early in the podcast when I had hidden a frog in the side pocket of my shorts. Asked my son to grab the microfiber that was not in my pocket. So when he reached in out of trust for his father, he got a frog and it jumped off his hand and he jumped as high as the frog. It was really funny. Well, I haven't had a funny story of the vet since then. Although there have been some close ones, which I may share at a later date. This one, again, you'll be the judge of whether it's funny or not. I really like to make an impression. I call it presentation cleaning. I want things that can sparkle to sparkle. I want them to know that the cleaner was there because of what they see, smell, and feel when they come into the office. So there is a downstairs area where they keep kennels, and once dogs, cats come out of surgery, they stay in this kennel room overnight. Most of the kennels are small, just large enough to hold a few cats, a single dog, and there was a few rows, so you could see them kind of stacked on top of each other, but you know, they still had enough room. But there is also two other locations in this vet where the dogs usually would go after surgery, and one was the ISO room, which was isolation if they had like the parvo virus or something else that they needed to keep separated from the rest of the population of other animals in the vet. I'm not a veterinarian and I don't know a lot about it, but I'm just trying to repeat what I've heard. Now there's another kennel that is large. It's probably 5.5 feet in height on the inside, and it's kind of a locked box with glass doors. And I always will clean the outside of those glass doors because it gets smudgy from animals hitting it. But I've never cleaned the inside, and there was plenty of nose and paw prints and things that have just bothered me, and I never took the time to go inside, and nor would I, because usually there's a dog in there with one of those cones on his head and looking at me and some kind of a IV hooked up to him, so I couldn't go inside. Well, this particular visit, no one was in there. There wasn't even any animals in the kennel at all. I saw the smudges. I was looking for something extra to do. I was a cleaner looking for a problem to happen. I found one. I went inside the kennel. I was comfortable. I kept the doors open and I was able to clean the glass on the inside. Most of it. But you know how just like with a sliding shower door, there is a third of that piece of glass you can't clean unless you slide it fully closed. Okay, maybe you know where this is already heading. In all of my infinite intelligence and wisdom, I did allow the door to close. It clicked, and I cleaned the entire glass on the inside of both doors. When I was done, I was so proud of myself. It looked awesome. Frankly, I had no idea whether the vet or any of the staff would notice I did it. But here's what transpired next. I wanted to get out of the kennel, which when I went to open the door that had clicked, the click didn't register in my brain as click equals close plus lock. And a simple tug on the door revealed that indeed I was locked inside of a dog kennel in a veterinary hospital. 11 o'clock at night, and I'm thankful I'm not alone. My son is working with me, but I'm starting to whimper like a little puppy. Arf, 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 help! Help me, I'm stuck in the dog kennel! My son, fortunately, was only about 30 feet away cleaning a restroom. However, he's 15 and he's got something on his ears. Both ears. So he's listening to his music or audiobook or whatever he had going on at the time. He didn't hear the whimpering stray dog in the locked kennel, otherwise known as his father. Arr, help! Kenny! Hey, Kenny, help! Help! Eventually, the teen heard the desperate cry for help. And when he approached, he had a smirk on his face. Hey, Dad, what you doing in the kennel? Funny you should ask. And I know the thoughts going through his head. He's thinking, frog in the pocket, payback for Dad. And I'm thinking, son, I brought you into this world. I can take you out. I'm also thinking, would you like to walk the 9 miles home tonight? I give all the credit to my son for making a wise decision. He just gave a little smirk, a laugh, and says, wait till Mom hears this one. I said, yeah, I'm thinking, wait till the podcast audience hears this one. He finds a plate that he slides up from the outside. Click. I'm open. I can come out. So for the fun of it, I locked myself back in and attempted to move the plate from the inside, and sure enough, I was able to. So the good news is that I had a way out of a locked kennel. I now know how to get out of the kennel in case I ever decide to clean it again from the inside. And just as a potential amendment to an initial podcast I did early on called The Cons of Solo Cleaning, you could add this one, Con of Solo Cleaning. If you're cleaning a veterinary hospital as a solo, alone, and you get locked into a dog kennel, there is a good chance you will be in that dog kennel when the staff arrives in the morning. And can you imagine the fright and hysteria mixed with utter comedy as you enter work in the morning and you find your cleaning guy locked in a kennel? All right, let's move into the topic for today's show by appointment only. And no, I'm not talking about making an appointment to go into the dog kennel, because I would have been by appointment only and alone. This is a much better story. In our MCBA networking meeting, we're still doing Zoom calls from the COVID season that we're all in. And a friend of mine, his name is Hugh Gabuano, and he's the owner of the Foot Solutions franchise in Norristown, Pennsylvania. And he shared this story that absolutely rocked me. I love it. And I asked his permission if I could share this and also give an endorsement of his business, because I love the model that he's using to serve his clients. So I want you solo cleaners to really listen, hone in to this message, understand what he's saying, and you have an opportunity to increase your per client sales as well. Hugh is part of the retail model. And as you know, retail stores have been shut down across America. Many were non-essential and were forced to stay closed. Others were deemed essential and were allowed to be open. Hughes fit into that category, but he still had to make a decision how to be open and what model does he serve his clients. Now, before I go there, let me just back up and just talk about the larger scheme of the retail shoe industry. Yes, I know a little bit about this. Not a ton, but in high school, I worked for Herman's Sporting Goods in the King of Prussia Mall as a junior in high school, and I was a shoe salesman and rollerblade salesman. It was a lot of fun. And my dad, he sold shoes in high school as well, even into the first couple years after high school when he had a little baby boy, me, as a young 19, 20-year-old. He worked in shoe stores. and shoe stores back in the day when he was there. It was so customer-centric, personalized, one-on-one attention. It was like you're going to get glasses fit. You wanted to get the right shoes. It was an experience. That was how it used to be. But by the time I worked for the shoe company, and with the explosion of the box stores like the Foot Lockers and the malls and the Finish Lines, shoes became something that was commoditized. In other words, it's not a big deal. It doesn't require a lot of expertise. Just put a bunch of shoes on a bunch of racks, hopefully get some endorsements like Michael Jordan, and sell as many as you can through the model of big store, big doors, long hours, 7 days a week, as many people as come in the store, greet them when they walk in. Hey, great to see you. And as I was trained, within 120 seconds, go back to that person and say, is there anything I can help you with? In hopes of converting the thousands of people that step foot into your shoe store on a given week into paying clients. That was the model, and it changed from what my dad had experienced in high school to what I had experienced in high school. Scale, scale, bigger, bigger, bigger. It's like the old Wunsler in the Lorax story. They're just going to keep on biggering and biggering and biggering. Well, what I love about what Hugh does is that he chose to niche. He wanted a retail store. Check. He wanted a shoe store. Check. But he wants to separate from the Foot Lockers and the Finish Lines and the big box stores of the world. So to niche, he had to create separation through expertise. If you go to an eye doctor, they aren't just selling eyeglasses because they took a course online or they worked in a store and someone taught them. They are optometrists. And optometry is a field of study requiring a college degree. Hugh wanted a retail shoe store that was along that type of a model, a medical model. Did you know that there are doctors for feet called podiatrists? They are licensed medical professionals, doctors. They go to school for many years to become that. They can prescribe medications, perform surgery, and things of that nature. Do you know there's another field of feet medicine? I never even knew this until meeting Hugh. It's called a podorthist. Hugh is a certified podorthist, a CPED. I never even knew what that was. It sounds like a bug, but it's not. Podorthists, they work exclusively with the foot and ankle, but they can't diagnose or prescribe or treat any disease, etc. But they can certainly figure out your gait, and they can do feet analysis and help you customize the shoe for your feet so that you don't have to deal with pain any longer. And do you know that proper footwear can fix so many issues above your feet? It makes sense. I'm sure chiropractors and podorthists refer each other all the time because your back gets messed up because your feet are all misaligned because you're wearing bad shoes. Now, I've personally never bought a pair of shoes from a customized podorthist, but it is very interesting, and I think that Hugh has found a awesome niche, and he's certified to help people get into the right shoe for their body. He's not just an owner of a retail store trying to get as many people in as possible to find the style they like and then get them out the door as many sales as possible. Sure, he wants more sales. He runs a business, but he wants to get people into the right shoe so that they can have a better life, and then they'll refer people back to him. It really is a medical niche model of footwear. Hugh then found the company that represented him and his goals best, and he chose a franchise, Foot Solutions, and he opened up a franchise in Norristown, Pennsylvania. Hugh has done very well with this store. He's got a great business mind. He's part of masterminds. He's got a great network. And his business has been growing year after year using the model of doors are open these many days per week, these hours, everyone come on in, all are welcome. And the way Hugh describe it is he might have as many as 8 customers in the store at one time. And although they all needed personal attention, Hugh and his staff, they couldn't get to everyone and spend a lot of quality and quantity with each one. Certainly, customer service is number one to them. They've done their best. And Hugh's gotten so many recommendations. I believe his Google profile has over 75 reviews. And his sales have been great. That model has worked. So within the niche he's at the level he's at, which is, again, you start from the top, and this is how niching works. At the top, retail. Below retail, the shoe industry. Under the shoe industry, medical footwear and podorthist, customized shoes. That's where he's at. Now, within that niche, it's bigger than you think. There's lots of stores that sell custom shoes like that. How could Hughes separate even more? Well, everyone uses the model of our doors are open, come on in, all are welcome. Until COVID-19, here's what happened. There are other franchises of the same name in our local area. And what Hugh told us this morning on a call rocked my world. It was so amazing. I really compliment Hugh for being so wise. Here's what others are doing. COVID-19, let's just shut down. We'll reopen when we can. Hugh said, no, I'm not going to shut down, but I will operate hours by appointment only. This was not a strategic marketing thing that Hugh was doing. He just wanted to be able to be open to continue to sell shoes and to help his community. But he also wanted to make sure that he was protecting his clients, because one at a time would be just enough to serve, and then he could disinfect whatever he needed to, the high touch points between each appointment. But what Hugh discovered through the process is that it did so much more than just show extra protection to his clients. He started realizing that the by appointment only is not a new thing. Realtors use it. It raises the level of demand by lowering the supply, as there's only so many appointments available. And what happens is, without Hugh even realizing it, the people that were making appointments were pre-qualifying themselves by saying, yes, I like your website. Yes, I'd like to get a shoe. Yes, I think you're qualified. And yes, I'd like to come in and see your shoes. I'd like an appointment to see your shoes. Well, as you can imagine, Hugh was able to give unprecedented one-on-one attention to each and every single client that came in. And check out these numbers. This is the part that rocked me. The average client visit, and Hugh could track this through his Google My Business profile. I mean, this is amazing as a side note. In the Google My Business analytics, Google tracks everything we do, right? Well, they know where you're at by the GPS. And Google tracks how long people are in his store. He can go into the insights, and he now knows that his average client during this by appointment only season has gone from 15 minutes per visit to 35 minutes per visit. They've more than doubled their time in his store. That has allowed Hugh to give so much more personal attention, create more goodwill, create more raving fans, and it shows in the piggy bank. Because when Hugh said this, my average sales per client is up 30% over the prior model, we were like, what? In the meeting this morning, that was amazing. And I asked the question, Hugh, I gotta know something. Year to year, last June to this June, that's a significant model change. Yes, your average sale per client is up, but you can only put so many clients in the store on a given day by appointment. And so you don't get the benefit of 8 in there at any given time. So how's that affected your overall sales for the month? And Hugh smiled and he said, you're not going to believe this. And I'm thinking, actually, I will, because I'm an optimized solo cleaner and I understand this model. He says, I project to be up 6% in total sales for the month of June over last year. Drop the mic. This is so incredible. Others in the group asked Hugh, are you going to continue with the by appointment only when COVID is completely over? He smiled and said, of course I am. The results speak louder than anything else. And it just gives him so much advantage. Not only can he give the one-on-one attention, create more goodwill, more great referrals through great recommendations, so many things are going to happen. The average person spends more time in his store. He loses the guilt of, I couldn't get to everybody. He literally can spend as much time with each person as he chooses. So he feels better about himself because he's doing more for each client. And by scheduling his clients, he controls his daily calendar, which allows him to be an 80-20 optimizer. He can take the times that he has appointments and pour everything into that time because it's going to produce a greater sale than the old model. And the time in between, he can focus on marketing, on books, on things that will generate more revenue, on ways to serve clients. He has time to think and time to build his business greater versus running around the retail store like a chicken with his head cut off, trying to get to everyone. That never happens. There are so many benefits, not to mention the one that I'm not overlooking, but the sales itself. I want to talk about an example from a book I love, Acres of Diamonds, Russell Cronwell. He shares in the back of the book how to build a business and uses a jackknives story. There's a local businessman in a block, a city block. It's actually Philadelphia where this speech is done. He tells the story of a store owner who just gets whatever he thinks his neighbors wants, and he sells some, and someone comes in and says, "Hey, do you have jackknives?" And he says, "Nope, sorry." Someone else comes in, "Hey, do you have jackknives?" "Oh, sorry." By the third time, this storekeeper finally realizes, maybe I ought to get jackknives to sell at my store. He does, and people start buying it, which causes him to rethink everything. And now he goes around to every single client slash neighbor in his neighborhood, finds out what they need and what they want, and makes sure that he stocks those things in his store. Russell Cronwell says, be like that in business. Find out what your patrons need and want and get them into your store. Imagine if Hugh does the same thing. He's already up 30% per client. Imagine if he sold other things that these clients want. People are proven to want the box store mindset. They want to go to one place to get everything. So what if Hugh has high profit items that people want? Now, it's not going to be jackknives, but it could be other shoe accessories. I mean, look at my friend Dr. Mack at the Skip Back Pharmacy. He's not making much on the actual prescriptions, but he puts a bunch of profit in the front of the store that help the community. The disinfectants, the PPE gloves, and all the different things that people have been wanting during COVID, he's making a lot of profit on those. Hugh could do the same thing. Put a bunch of things in the store that people want and need and are willing to pay for, especially when they're in the store, get a great experience from Hugh. They know I can trust him. They're already spending money with him, and they can simply add 5 or 6 more things on. So his average per client can go from 30% to 60% to possibly more. Could you imagine, Hugh, if you're listening, I hope you do this. Could you imagine if Hugh has his store open 3 days a week by appointment only and makes the same in sales as he does right now and even more than he did when he had his store open all the time? That's the difference between a scaled business and one that customizes its sales to each client. Solo cleaners, are you hearing me? This is exactly what I did in my solo cleaning business. I used to create X amount of dollars per house and worked 5 days a week. And those houses took me X amount of hours. Over time, I took the by appointment only approach and optimized my business. Like Hugh, I was able to increase my sales per client by over 50 to 60% over the course of 2 to 3 years. I also decreased my time per house by 50%. And when you take those two 50%, that's how you can go from $30 and $40 an hour cleaning to over $100 an hour cleaning houses and offices because I'm efficient. Now, does that mean my excellence dropped? No. Did Hugh not give good attention to his people? He gave great attention and helped them tremendously, and so did I. I gave tremendous excellence. And so this model is exactly how my ISO model works. So if you are a solo cleaner and you're struggling 5, 6 days a week trying to make it, you need to come on board with an optimizing model that will work for you like it's worked for me and like Hugh has applied it in a completely different industry. I want to thank my friend Hugh for allowing me to tell this story. And by the way, if you want to check out Hugh's store, I'll put the link to his store and his website in the show notes. And if you're in the Philadelphia market close to me, close to Hugh's store, and you need some help with your feet, and some good quality customized shoes by a licensed professional. He told me this. He's offering a free gait and foot analysis, which is $100 value to anyone who comes and books an appointment at his store. So I say take him up on it, get the $100 free foot analysis, and go get you a good pair of shoes. Hugh, well done. Well done, my friend.
Thank you for listening to Solo Cleaning School. Class is dismissed.